They do grow up so quickly, and before you know it, they're off to college, and then you're going to have to go to grownandflown.com and figure out how to handle them. Lisa Heffernan joins us right now. She is the author and co-founder of grownandflown.com, website and the book. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Wendy. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. I reached out to you years ago when I was going to send my son Michael off to college. I didn't know how I was going to deal with it. Turns out he didn't go away to college. He stayed around here. But I've been watching videos and seeing posts on Facebook, talking to friends of people that have dropped off their kids at college for the very first time. And that is pretty difficult, isn't it?
It really is. It is such a big change in our families. You know, we're used to having them there every day. It's been 18 years, and suddenly they're gone. Huge, huge disruption in the pattern that we're used to.
There was something that was on the Today Show, and there is a woman who dropped her daughter off at school and didn't want to leave her daughter, so she had a sleepover and spent the night in her daughter's dorm room. I don't know. I mean, to each his own. Everybody has to do what works for them, but is that a good way to start?
You know, I'm not a clinical psychologist. I'm just a mom who edits a large website on this topic. Probably not. You know, the schools have years and years and years of experience doing this. And the advice that they give parents is move your kid in, go to whatever programming. Sometimes there's, you know, programming for parents, discussions, you know, maybe a speaker or two, and then leave. Make it easy on them. Let them start their new life. Let them meet the new friends. Let them begin this process of getting used to life without you in a new place. So sleeping over, probably not a good idea.
Now, what do parents usually discuss on the way home after they've dropped their kids off? How does that go? Are there tears? I'm sure there are.
A lot of parents have a lot of tears. And I will tell you right now that one of the reasons we started Grown and Flown is I live in the Northeast. 95 is people may know is the main, you know, interstate that runs up and down 95. I had to pull over on the side of 95 on the shoulder because I was crying so hard I could no longer drive. So I am so sympathetic to parents who are having a difficult time with this. I think the thing to remind yourself of, your kid has been a huge success. They have gotten to 18. They have found a direction for their life. They're off starting their adulthood. This is success. You know, our children, we raise them to become the independent adults that they're showing themselves to be. So remind yourself that they've been a success and pat yourself on the back a little bit. Raising an adult is a difficult, difficult task. Also important, remind yourself it's 2024. I think a lot of what we experience is we drop our kids off, but we feel it's going to be like when we were dropped off in college, maybe. Maybe we called our parents once a week. Maybe we wrote a letter. We didn't communicate a whole lot. That is not what's going to happen with your kid in 2024. They will text and FaceTime, and anytime they've got a problem, you will hear about it. So the communication is a lot greater, and it's a different era that we're bringing them into. And then super important to remember is all the data showing that they are much closer to us and want our guidance and our input far more than we did with our parents. So what we're grieving is the loss of that closeness. But that closeness does not need to end.
Well, I read an article on grownandflown.com, and it's really, there are so many great articles there. This is,
thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you do such a great job. One of them was, what if your kid is struggling? What if they call you and say, listen, I can't, I don't want to stay here. I'm very homesick. And that particular article was, you know, that's hard for every kid. Now, for me, I went away to Illinois State. I made it until Christmas. I was miserable. But I'm telling you right now, Lisa, if I had a cell phone where I could have FaceTimed my mom or texted whenever I wanted, I bet you things would have been much easier.
I think there's a couple of things with homesickness. And this is the most important thing for parents to remember. And you can convey this to your kids. UCLA has looked at freshmen over the course of the last 50 years. So they've got a lot of data every year going back 50 years. And they have shown that almost three-quarters of college freshmen report occasionally or frequently feeling lonely or homesick. when your student feels like they are the only person feeling this way, you need to know that is not the case. And you need to tell them this is not only is it common, but it's more common to feel homesick than to not feel homesick. I think that's a little reassuring for us as parents, and it hopefully it's a little bit reassuring for them as well.
Lisa, I just wanted to mention someone has texted and helicopter parents raise weak kids. Who's going to hire these weak kids? You just mentioned that the relationship we have with our children these days is way better than the relationship we had with our parents. Is it raising weak kids or just talking to them and understanding them?
I don't think so. This is Pew Research. It came out in January showing the increased closeness. You know, when you and I had a problem and we were like 22, let's say we had a problem, a money problem, or we couldn't decide about a job, or we were in a relationship that didn't feel good, but we didn't know what to do about it. Here's what we would have done. We would have talked to another 22-year-old who knew as little as we knew about life, had no experience, and we would take their advice. Our kids ask us. They talk to us. They consult with us. We are adults who have had mortgages and, you know, credit cards, and we know about things they don't know about. So the fact that they're close to us, consult with us, talk to us, I don't think those things are weak at all. And I don't think it raises a generation who isn't able to manage life on their own at all. I think that closeness is supportive of our family.
Absolutely. And I had just read an article about the new age of endless parenting. There are a lot of kids still living at home in their 20s and 30s. It's very difficult to purchase a house now. Sometimes you go get a college degree and you can't find a job. So that is not necessarily a bad thing. That strengthens the relationship.
Exactly, and a lot of these kids are using the opportunity to save money to build that house or buy that house that they hope to get in the future. The period in which they are acting as younger adults is a little bit longer now, and they are living with us longer. But we have to remember, that is also always what families did throughout history. Young adults lived with their parents until they got married, and sometimes even the young couple would live with parents. So the era in which young people took off at 18 and never went back home again is actually a relatively recent phenomenon. It happens to have been our lives, but that doesn't mean it's the only way to do things.
Yes, and there was a pandemic in between things that has kind of stunted the growth, don't you think, where kids are having a little bit more. They lost a couple years.
Yes, it brought families back together, and it did set kids back a little bit, but you know, we're going to obviously move on from here.
Absolutely. Another article I read on grownandflown.com kind of hit home a little to me. Managing my child's anxiety by managing my own. I do have anxiety. I currently take an ADHD med and I take an anti-anxiety. And now I am able to stress out my kids less. And I'll just tell you right now, you know, sometimes when it's storming or something and my kid would be driving, I'd like, oh, be careful. I made them nervous about something they weren't even worried about.
Yeah, it's very easy to do, and it's super important, as you're suggesting, to not do that. Sometimes one of the things that helps parents is to remind themselves of all the times that teen or that young adult has shown good judgment and shown competency. So the kid isn't a blank slate. You know your kid. You know your kid has driven in rough conditions before. You know your kid has shown good judgment before. The other thing to remember is, we were in similar situations with no way of contacting our parents, you know. So if something had happened or if we'd had a question or if there had been a problem, we were kind of on our own. If your child has got a problem or a question or concern, they actually now can reach out to you. So I think it's super helpful to remember they're in a better position to communicate with us. Remind yourself of all the times that they have shown good judgment and competency, because that will assuage some of that anxiety. You remind yourself that your kid is capable of what they're doing right now.
And really and truly, listeners, if you have anxiety of your own, once you get it under control, it's remarkable how your life loosens up a little bit.
Yeah. It's healthy for them. I mean, it's not a good feeling as a young adult or a teenager to be absorbing your parents' anxiety.
Yeah, absolutely. What about the kids who are at home when their older brother or sister goes away? How will they react? Will the dog miss the kid going to college?
You know, this is one of the things I completely overlooked when my oldest left for college. I was so wrapped up in what I was experiencing, I forgot that his younger brothers, who had never known life without him, were going to miss him every bit as much. So involve them a little bit in that experience of the family packing and getting ready for them to go. Let them express their feelings. Ask them their feelings. I never once asked my younger son, are you going to miss your brother? I was so wrapped up in my own experience. But yes, it's really important to think about that, because your younger children are going to have a point of dislocation. Look, some kids are happy to see their oldest kid go. They get the big room now, and they get more attention. But for some, that close, and remind them also that closeness doesn't have to wane, that there's a million ways of them communicating with each other. I'll tell you one thing I did also that was a little helpful. My kids are close in age. This only works if your kids are a little bit older, your younger kids are a little bit older. I let them go visit their older brother in college. One of them is only a year younger. What a wonderful experience to go visit your older sibling in college.
That's a good one.
It's such a joyful, fun thing. But of course, they need to be high schoolers to do that, probably.
Right.
But find ways that you can easily foster and you know, nurture that closeness between the siblings.
And real quickly, before I let you go, Grown and Flown is not all about college, because not every kid succeeds at college, and they succeed elsewhere in the world, like trade school and other things. So big fan of grownandflown.com, and just keep up the great work, Lisa.
Thank you, Wendy, and thank you for talking this morning.
Absolutely. Lisa Heffernan, author and co-founder of Grown and Flown. Yep, we're trying to get our kids grown and flown out of the nest. We'll work on that.